This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go,
man. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. It's a Target Demo Friday, so we want to know what you're doing as you listen to the show, how you're listening to the show, and where you're at. And we will read through those coming up a little bit later on in the show that comes your way in about 45 minutes from now. So get in your Target Demos now, and we'll read those coming up here at the end of the show to hear from you guys, the loyal D-Aliens. Last night had it all. A lot of it not good. Joining us here on the show to analyze everything that is on the table is our good friend Charles Davis, a member of the NFL on Fox team, and a guy that we love to pick his brain regarding the NFL. Charles, good morning.
Good morning, DA. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Terrific.
Well, last night, I just like to know, as you saw that unfold, what was your reaction?
Horror. Disappointment, to put it mildly. It played into the worst things that people would feel about guys playing in the league. You do this for a living, DA. You know sometimes what the vitriol can be about guys running around playing NFL football. And that played right into it. And to watch guys who understand that these are the best doing it at the highest level they can do it, and that there actually isn't a code that you go by of, we're going to try and take you out cleanly and effectively, but not cross the line. That crossed the line every which way you can cross the line. Absolutely destroyed the line. So whatever punishment is coming Myles Garrett's way, I'm probably not going to have a problem with that. I know Maurkice Pouncey's going to end up getting some punishment because he kicked a guy. You know, this turned into a street fight. But he was there protecting his quarterback, and when someone swings a helmet at a helmetless person on the field, in a lot of ways, DA, I'll stop here, we're actually fortunate it didn't escalate into a lot more.
Totally agree. If that helmet connects to the wrong part of the head,
oh my God,
that is a really scary situation.
Just turned a little, DA, and you get the full helmet. Like what caught Mason Rudolph, that as I saw it, was where you would put your head into the helmet, the open area, not the full part that protects you. Imagine if that part had hit his head. And remember, how many weeks ago was it that he had got knocked out in a game? Earl Thomas hit.
Terrifying.
Missed one or two ball games in his back. We're talking about a bigger, deeper tragedy conversation than what we're talking about now. And I think the league, when they adjudicate this, DA, they'd better take into account intent, not just result.
It's a really interesting point. Is there any part of this where Mason Rudolph, you feel, has some guilt?
Yeah, he's culpable in... He was sacked late in the ball game. I think it was questionable taking him to the ground. You know, at that spot, I think if you go back and watch it, that part can be deemed questionable. But you know, football happens, right? To me, it was a football play, all right? And then you can decide where you want to put your lines on, et cetera. Mason took offense to how he went down and maybe how he was tackled. And then when he grabbed face mask and grabbed head and protested, let me just go ahead and be facetious here. We've never seen that before, right? We've never seen a quarterback squirm and struggle and think that maybe he got hit wrong. We've never seen that. Oh, by the way, he had thrown, what, 4 interceptions that night. His team was getting beat. So there's a little frustration there. So if we want to call him culpable for that, sure. Okay? But that turns into a push, shove. Heck, if they want to throw hands, they throw hands, which is dumb because you have headgear on. But we see that all the time, too. Those get penalized. Guys get taken out of games. Fights happen. That wasn't a fight. What Myles Garrett did at the end of it was that wasn't part of the fight. That's not what you do. That was, that, as I said before, that was street. And when you go street fight, you know, there's no rules, right? And you know, here I am, this middle-class kid from New Paltz, New York, you know, born Elizabeth in Tennessee. I hadn't been in a street fight in my life. So it's not like I'm coming off all hard here. That's not who I am. But I do know that's how it goes down. And that's not how it's supposed to go down in the NFL field. So, yeah, is Mason culpable for that? Sure. If you want to put it there, does that rise to the level of Myles Garrett ripping his helmet off and hitting him with it? Not even close.
Well said. Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox. Let me ask you about the organization as a whole. Myles Garrett has been a loose cannon a number of times this year. He's been flagged a million times this year, as has the rest of that organization or the rest of that team. Earlier in the night, Demarius Randall has a vicious helmet-to-helmet hit that leaves a Steelers player with blood pouring out of his ear. Is any part of the end of that game on a lack of discipline via Freddie Kitchens?
I struggle to get there as much as I feel like it's easy to get there, D.A. I struggle to get there because I've been around the game a long time, and I can't in my mind come up with a time where a coach has coached dirty play to the extent that we're talking about, that it is rampant through an organization and a team. I can hear people now going, well, what about the Saints? I wasn't there for them. I'm talking about what I've been around. Okay? I wasn't around with all the stories that you and I have heard growing up from our mentors and our parents and people who played, who talked about, well, you know, back in the 40s, if a guy did that, you know what we would do? You remember? You know, we've all heard those. I don't have that in my arsenal. I don't have that in my background at all. So I really struggle to get there. Are they an undisciplined team in terms of playing the game of football? Well, the numbers tell the tale. They lead the league in penalties, correct, D.A.?
Sure do.
If you talk about an organization that has taken chances on players numerous times over the years that haven't exactly worked out, they would be a team that you would put into that. I still remember Hard Knocks when they were all going, getting giddy that Josh Gordon was showing up for the umpteenth time and they thought he would be okay. And I was like, when are you guys going to get the memo? This guy's got bigger issues than whether or not he's going to be able to play football. And once again, he couldn't. When they drafted Antonio Callaway, who they just cut, and now was he facing, what, a 10-game suspension? Did I read that correctly, D.A.?
Believe so.
By the league?
Yeah.
When they drafted him, you can find me, and this is not a look-at-me time, but I like to be clear about what I've said or have not said. I was very against that. I said on air when he got drafted, he would not have been on my draft board. This is not a guy, and I remember thinking, you're going to put him in that, and I actually said, you're going to put him in that room in Cleveland? With Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry's a strong personality. He's like the only one who can kind of keep order. That's what you're going to add him to? How'd that turn out? So that's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to make an indictment of the Browns and their organization. And I think it's a leap to say that this is all on Freddie Kitchens' head. But he is the head coach, and he'll have to bear the brunt of that and answer those questions. But I don't believe that he's trying to have an organization that culminates in a guy ripping some guy's helmet off and hitting a guy with it. Do I think that he might not be the right guy to be the head coach of the Browns? I said that when he got the job. I don't back off of that stance at all. I thought that was as a head coach, I didn't see it. Now with the team, they've won a couple of games, blah, blah, blah. I still don't believe we can put this all on him. But as the head coach, D.A., he's going to have to answer those questions and work to try and fix it, yeah.
Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox joining us this morning on the show. In the wake of a really ugly moment, did you think that Baker Mayfield's post-game comments were actually responsible, mature, and surprisingly refreshing?
they were off the charts incredible is what they were as far as I'm concerned. Because you know as well as I do, and anyone hearing our voices knows too, Baker's been a lightning rod for a number of things, positive and negative, since he's been at Oklahoma. Okay, because that's when people kind of discovered him. They didn't know him at Texas Tech when he was the rookie of the year as a walk-on freshman quarterback. But they know, they've known him since then. And one thing about him is, like him or not like him, he's always going to speak what he believes is his truth. And to be able to take on a teammate in that manner last night in that time frame, wow, I don't think many people would have done it. And the thing is, he didn't have to do it. That's the other part, D.A. As the quarterback of that team, as a leader of that team, he could have very well said, I'm keeping my comments in-house, and could have addressed it in-house and done it that way. But he put it out there, and to me it was for the greater good. He put it out there as a football player, as part of the NFL, not as a member of the Cleveland Browns. That type of action is inexcusable no matter where it comes from. And that was pretty phenomenal for a second-year guy in the league. He may be a captain of the team, but he's still a second-year quarterback. And he essentially called out his teammate for behavior that we're all calling him out for. But typically you close ranks within your own team. But I thought that that wasn't a shot Cleveland to Cleveland. I thought he spoke for the league. He spoke for all of us who love football. And I give him an incredible amount of credit for that, because he didn't have to do it.
Yeah, grew up real quick last night. Charles Davis joining us.
Something.
Yeah, joining us from the NFL on Fox. Finally, you got Cowboys Lions. Let's pivot to that one. What do you expect from this Cowboys team week to week this week or the rest of the season? They seem so unpredictable.
They are unpredictable, and their biggest problem, not their biggest, there's a lot of issues, everyone has them, but their slow starts are stunning. You know, that they don't. It takes them a while to get out of the gate. The crazy part is they're playing a team that's the opposite. When Matthew Stafford is the quarterback, they come roaring out of the gate, no pun intended, or maybe it was. Maybe I tried for it. Who knows? Bottom line is, this Cowboys team coming into Detroit with a backup quarterback anticipated, we don't know yet about Driscoll or Stafford, but that's what we're anticipating. They've got to get after it early, and you've got to be in a position where you're not chasing. You know, you can't give a team like Detroit that's 3-5-1 and searching for something, an opportunity to play from the front and gain confidence, and then you got a real battle on your hands. You got to come in and take care of business. This Cowboys can get down 14 minutes. Okay, we're all the way back, and we're in it the entire way. It's a really good team, but that's not how you want to play. And the second part is, they got to figure out that balance of Zeke and Dak. And everybody's like, whose team is it? Is it Dak's team? Is it Zeke's team? Well, I think it can be both, but I think you have to read the room and read critical times. And if it's not Zeke's night and Dak is throwing the heck out of the football, you might want to leave the ball in his hands. And that's something that they as a staff have to go through right now, because let's be frank about it, D.A. They are built for it to be Zeke's team, especially in critical situations. Allowing it to be Dak's team in certain situations is something that they have to decide that they're going to let happen. You know, kind of like Seattle had to go through it with Russell Wilson. Well, they totally have gotten there, haven't they? It's totally his. Well, they got to figure out what they're going to do between the Dak and Zeke thing. And I think it's really a matter of, what is it that day? Who is more effective that day? That's where they should lean.
Yeah. Charles Davis has the call. Cowboys and Lions this week for the NFL on Fox. We always appreciate his insight and conversation. And, you know, when you have a really good pun, just lean into it and own it. You don't even have to tell anybody if it's intentional or not.
That just tells you the total lack of confidence I have in my pun game. You know, I have zero.
You're too honest. That's the problem here.
I have
here.
Zero. You know, just, it's like, ooh. No. You know, you're like, one, I just heard that. I just heard what I just said. Yeah, okay. I'll work on it, D.A., yeah. With your guidance.
Own it, baby.
I'll get better.
Charles, you're the best, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You take care.
Okay, you too. Charles Davis joining us from the NFL on Fox. So we'll get to more on what the ramifications of the Browns and Steelers game is for the rest of the season. But I do just want to follow back with the Peter Schwartz conversation.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
Because last night, Mraz tweeted out, he doesn't understand why anybody would show up to the NFL on Fox pregame show. It's a bunch of people standing in the middle of the street in Manhattan when there's like a billion other things to do besides watch three different former athletes just kind of go through the motion.
Well, not even that. If you're a fan of one of the teams playing on Thursday night, this was really my big issue. There is like 15 people in Steelers jerseys with the terrible towels out, you know, ooh and an on behind Michael Strahan. And I just think to myself, if that is really your team, and you're that big a fan, your team kicks off, and now I'm looking at the clock, 15 minutes from now versus the Cleveland Browns. What the heck are you doing standing outside of Manhattan watching a pregame show? Shouldn't you be settled into wherever you want to watch this game?
So at this point in time, who responds to this?
Peter Schwartz.
Okay. And Schwartz's defense is he's actually going to go do this later on in the year.
Said, I'd be into it. I'm going to take Jared later in December, one of his kids.
Okay. And the reasoning he gave to bring his son to Midtown Manhattan, where he does not live, to go see a bunch of retired former athletes stand around and talk football when you're like two or three people deep and it's freezing cold in the middle of Manhattan is...
I said, I'm going to... I think they give out pizza.
Oh,
it was just that short and simple at first.
Okay, so I just love that retort. Like, well, why wouldn't you go? I mean, I think they give free pizza out. So that's a reason in and of itself, according to Pete.
And I said back to him something to the extent of pizza. You can just order pizza anytime you want. On backpedal, he goes, I have multiple reasons. Game will be a blowout, possible pizza, and my son wants to meet Terry Bradshaw.
Okay.
But the pizza is still harping right in the middle of there.
So now we are going to assume, okay, that one of his sons, who is this the youngest son or the middle son?
This would be the youngest.
Okay. So we have a son in middle school, I guess.
Yeah,
would be interested enough in a player that played 25 years before he was born and that he wants to go stand out in the middle of the cold to meet that guy.
Right. Now, I can only assume maybe at best case his son is really into the pregame show.
Maybe. That's right. Yes. Yeah. So maybe he just sees him as a TV personality beyond even a player. Okay. So he wants to go meet him. But the pizza thing is interesting here because...
Oh, it's interesting.
It's really interesting because... Again, Pete doesn't live anywhere close to Manhattan.
No, I could speak for somebody that lives near where Pete lives.
Yeah.
It would take him probably an hour, especially on a Thursday in traffic
to drive.
Taking a train, probably another hour, you know, but you're comfortable not finding parking.
Now, you're paying for tolls. There are bridges and tunnels.
Now, he can get there for free via tolls. There are a couple bridges from Long Island where he would not pay a toll.
Okay. There are bridges that you would have to pay, say the Triborough Bridge, which is like $13, or the Battery Tunnel,
right,
which is another $15.
There are ways for him to get it free, but it will cost him another 15, 20 minutes.
Okay. There's also parking in Midtown Manhattan, so go figure that one out.
Right.
You can try to park on the street, I suppose, and drive around for about an hour and a half. You can try to feed a meter, which is, again, going to be at least $7 to $10.
Right.
Okay. Or you can find a parking garage, which is definitely going to be $20 to $30 minimum.
Right.
So... he is deciding on potentially driving an hour or taking mass transit, which would be the Long Island Railroad.
Which would cost him, I could speak for you, it would cost him and one person $50 round trip, $25 a person.
Okay, okay. So we're talking about either it's a $50 trip on mass transit or it's a minimum of $30 for parking and gas to get there driving.
Either way, you're adding up to close to $50.
Right, exactly, exactly. For a free slice of pizza. How many slices do you think all these people are getting out there via Fox? You think they all get a pie to themselves?
No way.
Do you think there's toppings on this?
No way. And also if
this is plain cheese pizza and you're lucky if you get one lukewarm slice.
Right. And if you're done with the slice, how do you have the nerve to say is there any more
yeah,
back
right,
there?
Exactly.
More complaints.
And by the way, there's not exactly luxurious tables to sit at. You're standing there. Freezing cold in December.
It's freezing.
Oil from the pizza dripping all over you and your kid. It makes no sense. And you did on Twitter fire back about 99-cent pizza and mention that in every corner.
So I bring this up, okay? So not to take it too far ahead, but then I said, yeah, why wouldn't you wait in line for, you know, free pizza when there's a 99-cent slice at every corner in New York City? There's so many pizza places that now they've cornered the market on 99-cent slices at like 70% of the places. And his response, I didn't even see this, was...
that's cheap pizza, DA. I know the pizza they're getting for Fox. It goes for $4 a slice. It's from a place in Long Island that I would travel for.
Oh!
Okay, here's again the problem,
yeah,
DA.
Yeah,
he lives on Long Island, which is not Manhattan, where he's claiming that they're shipping this pizza into Manhattan at Fox to get.
How hot can this pizza be?
Forget how hot it is. Just drive to the pizza place in Manhattan and spend the $4 instead of the $50 on a Long Island Railroad to get in and get the slice for free. It's because he needs the principle of the free slice. It's madness, and I love Pete. But geez, Pete, just take your wallet out and buy a slice of pizza. And stay home warm and play Xbox with your kid. And then pour on Terry Bradshaw in the damn game. Instead of having everybody freeze to death to get a half-oily, lukewarm slice of pizza. And then what, turn around and go home anyway?
What kind of rationale is it that part of the reason you would drive an hour or spend $50 on a train ticket, part of the reason is I can save $4 on pizza?
It's madness.
How could that be part of the rationale?
Look.
How could that possibly be part of your reasoning? Like, yeah, okay, it's really expensive, and yes, it's a lot of time out of the day, but at least I get a free slice of pizza instead of paying 99 cents at the corner.
And that's the thing. If he showed up without knowing this and just wanted this kid to meet
Terry
Bradshaw,
could he know what kind of pizza they serve?
Right. That means he's talked to people.
How could he know this? Who would you talk to?
Effort.
Who would you talk to find out what pizza they serve?
My guess is maybe the people at the pizza place, he knows.
And you would think you would talk to these people about meeting Terry Bradshaw and not the pizza.
Every part of this is amazing.
I also haven't booked a guest for Monday, but I did speak to sources close to the pizza situation. And I was told that they do a pizza available for only those working on the telecast, that they're eating in front of the people that are watching it. So it's not even for those people, which would mean he'd show up and be asking for pizza that's not his.
Peter Schwartz has done this. He has researched the kind of free pizza given away at the Fox pregame show. That's the type of person he is. He has researched the type of free pizza. That, in and of itself, to me, is so mind-blowing. So, he went out of his way to research the type of pizza they give away. And that either motivated him to want to go or was part of the reason he was going to decide whether it's worth it to go. Either finding out the quality of pizza was reason enough to go, or it was a deal breaker if it wasn't the right kind of pizza. All of that is amazing.
They really should make this an episode of some kind of sitcom and just redo it.
I can't get over it. This is the same guy that goes to Long Island Ducks games, an independent baseball team, like 7 hours early just to catch some free fly balls. This is the guy that goes to an NBA G League game 17 hours early to get a free sneaker or sock. This is the guy. I mean, and he's researching the types of free pizza to drive an hour and a half to.
It's maddening.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
When we come back, is this the end of the Brown season as we know it? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Sweatpants at work zone.
It's just so unfair, the light I've been painted on for this show. When you need me to be fat and disgusting, it's okay for a laugh. But when it comes time to actually share a real-life moment, I'm too fat and disgusting for you. It can't work both ways.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday, an NFL on CBS doubleheader featuring a battle between two of the most dynamic quarterbacks of the sport. When Lamar Jackson of the Ravens, welcome Deshaun Watson of the Texans, followed by the Patriots bracing for another tough road game in Philly. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern. 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
CBS is spectacular, yeah!
The Cleveland Browns are in the middle of a wild card hunt here. I don't think they're going to chase down the Baltimore Ravens, but their schedule absolutely opens up down the stretch. And when you have a two-game win streak like this, after you have a season worth of disaster and frustration, you should start to feel good about yourselves. And yet, the Browns can't because of the Myles Garrett situation. Look at how the schedule opens up for the Cleveland Browns right now. They have this open weekend because they played Thursday night. Then they have the Dolphins. Then they have the Steelers again. Then Cincy, Arizona, Baltimore, Cincy. They could lose to the Steelers in Heinz Field and lose to the Ravens as well. But down the stretch, you can find a number of wins to get them at least close to a playoff spot. Now, I think it's going to take minimum 9-7, and that means you'd have to beat Miami, Cincy twice, and Arizona, all doable, and then split between on the road against the Steelers and home against the Ravens. You've beaten Baltimore once earlier in the season. You just beat the Steelers. You got to find a split there. But if you find a split and go 5-1 down the stretch, you end up at 9-7. But now you have to do it without Myles Garrett. Now you have to do it with this hanging over your head. Now you have to do it without your best defensive player, at least for the next month. I have to imagine minimum NFL takes Garrett out for a month, maximum rest of the season and maybe into next year. What I think they should do is remove him from the Browns for the rest of the season. I think you take that part out of the equation. I think the act itself was dangerous enough, was crazy enough, and you don't have him come back into the league at the end of the year and dig up all this stuff again. For the Browns, I'm not going to put the nail in their coffin because they found a way to win the last 2 weeks, and that shows at least a little bit of gumption. I mean, part of it last night was before Mason Rudolph got slammed to the head by the helmet, he was terrible. And Juju Schuster-Smith went out, and Connor went out. And so you have a team that last night was kind of hamstrung anyway offensively, and their quarterback played terribly. I mean, as bad as you could possibly play, Nathan Peterman thought it was a bad effort. For the Browns, this could be the start of something, but losing Garrett is a huge blow, and I simply cannot and will not trust the Browns to do what they're supposed to do. They have tricked us all season. If you believe that this thing was a winning organization, and I did not, they're not going to trick me here down the stretch. Oh, suddenly the Browns have it put together. I don't believe that. I don't think the Browns are going to be anything better than 8-8, and I think they'll probably stub their toe along the way against a team they shouldn't, and my guess is that they're probably 7-9, and the loss of Myles Garrett absolutely hurts them down the stretch. When we come back, it's a Target Demo Friday. Let's do it. Let's hear from you guys. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Let's go tonight. Share the spice of life.
Little wet, little drippy, 24-7. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Friday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. A brand new permission-granted podcast is out. The show about the show within the show is the mothership of the crosshairs of a saboteur or multiple saboteurs. And what's the reason we dissected, plus an analysis of Shep's Monday producing. You know, the day that he came in at 3:30 in the morning to produce, then left to coach a JV basketball game, then sprinted from Times Square 2.4 miles in the middle of a busy Manhattan street to come here, pour sweat pouring off of his forehead, totally out of breath. You know, that day we discuss on this week's Permission Granted podcast, the show about the show. This week has had it all. Not all of it good. This week has truly had it all. And I have to say, it's the emotional ups and downs that you know keep you alive. Some days when it's feels like people are angry at you, feels like people are coming at you, you feel like you're between a rock and a hard place, you're getting angry, you're getting emotional, other people are getting emotional. It just helps to remember, it's the feeling of being alive. It's the zest of life. And I feel like we got a lot of it around here on the DA show. A lot of it. So, stay in the course. Sunday morning football comes your way. 8 a.m. Eastern time. 10 a.m. Eastern time, rather. 7 a.m. Pacific time on Sunday. The great Eddie George is going to join us. Very exciting. And Mraz will start your weekend with the Pork Store. Pork Store open late. 2 a.m. Eastern time on the East Coast, 11 p.m. on the West Coast. Get your weekend started. Mraz, any guests coming up in the Pork Store that we should know about?
Your guess is as good as mine. I do not know, but we will have a phone scroller, a campus crush. We'll be ready to go.
You want to tell people what those are?
The phone scroller is at 5 a.m. Eastern, 2 a.m. Pacific. You wake up, we reset the stories. You don't even have to go to your phone. I scroll your phone for you, giving you your stories.
Got it.
Campus Crush, we go around your day in college football with some great highlights and recap the day.
Okay, good enough. Time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This comes to us from Cleveland, and this is from Jim in Cleveland. D.A., why do my Browns always seem to have all of the dark moments, the butt of everybody's jokes? Can't we ever have anything nice? Jim, I'd like to say yes, but I don't know. I don't know if there's any evidence that the Browns organization wasn't built upon an Indian burial ground or something, because it just feels like it's a never-ending drama, a never-ending soap opera for all the wrong reasons. I don't even know if the last 2 weeks are evidence of the team turning it around. I mean, yes, it was a physical, hard-fought divisional round or divisional game last night, but that doesn't take into account just how awful Mason Rudolph was. That Steelers offense, I mean, it honestly wouldn't have scored points in the Alliance. Mason Rudolph's performance last night would have been the worst quarterback game of the Alliance last year. And the Browns left points on the field. They had their own set of mistakes offensively. They took unnecessary penalties. I don't know if that's a sign of turning things around. And then the Myles Garrett situation obviously puts everything into a blender. I think you have such a pressure to win in Cleveland, such an anxiety about winning, that it just consistently goes awry. It goes awry, and it's happening again. And I think that this Brown season, unfortunately, is going to end up being a sub 500 season once again out of the playoffs. And I think that the Steelers have a little bit of a better chance because the defense can play so good at times and because their coach is far more capable than Freddie Kitchens. But what Rudolph did last night was set football back 50 years. And you'll win no games playing offense like that. It's time for Target Tempo Friday.
It's a three-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
On Facebook, Brandon writes, D.A., can I get a beam up? Listening on my Echo Dot via radio.com, going to work and enjoying family time and watching Washington beat the Jets this weekend. All right.
All right.
Peter on Facebook, beam me up, D.A. Here in Clemson, I'm screen printing T-shirts, getting ready for the Clemson-Wake Forest game. Hashtag straight cash, homie.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
Jerry on Facebook, listening on SiriusXM 206 from Fishkill, New York. Get Mraz out. His football food of the week is basically a pierogi.
I'll drop dead. I will drop dead without those burritos.
My ass. My fat ass.
Not wrong.
It's a wonton shell.
Matt writes, I'm in Vegas listening on iTunes while prepping for parent-teacher conferences.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Chris is in Florence, South Carolina, the CBS Sports app. At the iDoc, getting new specs for better sports fan vision. Beam a brother up. Patrick, I wish I could listen to you in Erie, PA. Well, don't worry, Patrick. You should just stream us using the CBS Sports app and radio.com and anywhere else that you can stream the show. Andrew, couch potatoing. I'm in Wisconsin, the CBS Sports app. I've got the T-shirt, the DA T-shirt all the way. Hashtag, I will eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this. Boblio crust.
Mike is in Boston. You need to eat like this. I'm listening on the radio.com app.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this. Boblio crust.
Denisio, yo, DA, beam me up. Radio.com app. Enjoying my last day of work before vacation off to Costa Rica for 3 weeks. D.A. and Mraz, I got open chairs and mixed drinks with your name on it. Enjoy the weekend. Peace out. Well, that sounds absolutely delightful. Costa Rica for 3 weeks right now?
Now they go run roughshod.
Grant tweets, the Peter Schwartz pizza story has me cracking up. I haven't laughed this hard since Bruce on the Roof. Hashtag free pizza.
MDMA, which is also known as ecstasy or Molly.
It's an all-timer. It is an all-timer. AZ and Wisco is listening on radio.com and thanking the Browns for reminding Bengals fans that even though Mike Brown sucks, at least we aren't Browns fans. Lewis in Palmdale. Does Schwartz whistle like the Astros when the right pizza is coming?
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
He bangs on garbage cans when he's got the right quality pizza to go out drive an hour and a half for. Paul is on the CBS Sports app in Buffalo. Day off decorating my house and rocking some Bing Crosby and Andy Williams, followed by making some eggnog pancakes. Let's not forget about Mraz dressed as the Tin Man.
I'll drop dead! I will drop dead without those burritos!
Lonnie, happy Friday, eh? I'm at work in Arizona, loving the 66-degree weather. Listening on radio.com. Take me to the weekend, Mothership. Love the show. You guys are great. Appreciate it.
All right.
Brady's listening on radio.com as well in Starkville, Mississippi, getting ready to cheer on the Bulldogs and watch Nick Saban take a second loss in a row. You know I'm joking. Hashtag Hail State.
What you think about that, D.A.?
Headley's listening in Bama on the CBS Sports app. Full weekend slated once I finish carving these stones today. Too many adult beverages this evening. Watching my Tigers beat up on them pups tomorrow. And an Eric Church concert at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta on Sunday. That's a big one.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Trevor in Bomb City tweets, I could believe Schwartz's son would want to meet Terry Bradshaw. He's got to be all over those VHS tapes that Schwartz keeps around the house. I bet his son has actually seen and used a rotary phone, too.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Finally, Trevor tweets, and I'm listening and watching at watchda.com at the office in Amarillo, Texas, grinding out this job, hoping we finish enough that I don't have to work on my birthday tomorrow. Do we do weekend BMO?
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Now we're toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Today, everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. Our epic fail, the callers vehemently and vigorously defending Myles Garrett today.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Dan's next up. He's in Richmond, listening on 106.1 to CBS Sports Radio.
If I was your neighbor, okay, and every day I saw you, I came up to you and smacked you in the face, how many times are you going to let me do that before you punch me back in mine?
Okay, but hang on. What happens if I took out a gun and shot at you and could have killed you?
Whoa, then.
Would that be justified?
No. And let's not say a helmet is a handgun.
Wait a second.
No, I'll tell you what.
It might not be a handgun, but if that connects in the wrong way, we just agreed that Mason Rudolph's career could be over.
I think that he could have got some stitches. He could have. But and I've seen that happen. If you took your briefcase and swung it at me, and hit, I would deserve that.
Gentlemen, what brings me to my next point, don't smoke crack.
I would deserve that. All I'm saying is everybody with these 16 games suspended, it's ridiculous.
Your analogy of if you came over to my house every day and slapped me in the face, Mason Rudolph has not come over to Myles Garrett every week and put his hands in his face. I mean, this is the only game they've played so far this year.
If every day you walk down the street and everybody you walk by hits you, and you get to me and I do it, and you react, I mean...
Marco Belletti, who are you trashing?
Basically the human race.
I got to tell you, it sounds like you might be frustrated that in normal life and society, people can't respond and react anymore. It sounds like you like the idea of an eye for an eye.
What I like is the fact that this rivalry is back. If you go back and look at any of these games when we were relevant, this was par for the course.
Okay, so this is key. When you say we, you're considering yourself like part of the Browns.
Oh, that's a fact.
Okay.
So, I just don't get paid for it yet.
Got it. Okay. All right, so now I think I understand a little bit more about why you're impassionately defending a guy that really can't be defended.
Well, this is his first time, DA. It's not. He doesn't have a history during the game.
Oh, come on, Dan.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Come on. It's the first time he's taken off a guy's helmet and swung it at a guy's head. Nearly cracked it open. Everyone makes a mistake. TJ tweets, beam me up, DA.
listening on radio.com in Boise, Idaho, at work for this outstanding Friday. Go Raiders beat the Bungles. Rob tweets, I saw an NFL Network piece where Myles Garrett stated he had to choose between playing in the NFL or writing poetry. Still unclear why he couldn't do both. Is this the same guy we saw last night? Either way, Robert Frost and T.S. Eliot would be proud he pummeled that quarterback yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Rob, the 321, good morning. Listening to you on radio.com on I-95, headed to Orlando International Airport to board a plane to the Bahamas for nine glorious days with friends, my wife, and I know you guys are jealous.
Oh, okay.
You're damn straight. You're damn straight. We'll be back here grinding on Monday. In fact, before that, because I've got you on Sunday morning football coming your way at 10 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday, 7 a.m. Pacific. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Luke Diamond at WatchDA.com. And thanks to Brad Heller on your headlines. What happens next? Tune in on Sunday Morning Football on the Monday Morning DA Show to find out. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.